This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 8th, episode 1057, brought to you by our friends at Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Coming to you live from Santa's workshop at the North Pole, everyone's favorite elves, Jamie Jumperbottom and Glenn Scooterpops.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Monday morning. Of course, we're in the holiday season, and we're going to lighten. We had a serious show on Friday last week. We're going to lighten things up here a little bit today. But first, you know, what was happening on Friday after the show is Jamie was cutting out to go to the airport to bring Boomer, send him off on a jet plane to his new home. And I saw a video. It looks like he really is liking his new home.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy. The first picture she sent me was him in the front seat of her car, and she was feeding him bacon that she had fried up special for him. I'm like, he doesn't even know.
Does he know
me
you're
anymore.
A vegetarian?
Yeah, I mean, that's a farm. They like slaughter turkeys for Thanksgiving and stuff. It's crazy. So that's just a different lifestyle. But you know what? I got to tell you, I put him in that crate and had to like take him to the cargo area and say goodbye. I cried like a baby. I sobbed.
Oh, no.
I had to pull over. It was like the worst day. I was so awful. So awful. But then now after looking back, I've realized what a great idea because the second picture I got was him on their couch with their two daughters on the couch. That did not happen in my house. The next picture I got was him, or the video of him playing in the field with this huge field, like mud, because they're about to plant like dirt and mud. And he's wrestling with the rat terrier.
It's appropriate yeah. that he gets a terrier that will wear him down.
Oh, yeah. It's a very high energy rat terrier. And the next picture was them at the beach. They live 10 minutes from the ocean. So they took a walk down to the beach and they were like, I can't believe you went in the water. It's freezing. Like, he swam in our pool in January here. Like, he's fine. But he lives 10 minutes from the beach. He'd never even been to the ocean. So just one thing after another, she just kept me posted all weekend long. And he just looks, if you said to Boomer, Jamie and Chad, he'd be like, who?
Yeah, that's them. Right. At the point of bacon, he forgot totally who you were.
Yeah, exactly. Bacon? What? Huh? Who am I? So it was
like
pretty cool.
Good.
Yeah, exactly. He was thrilled.
Well, good for Boomer. That's great. And he looked so happy in that video just running around, and that little dog is going to wear his little ass out.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's
great.
Yeah. You did the right thing there. You did the right thing. The dog is where
it's
supposed to be.
And Zinni is as unbelievably happy to not have her brother here, as you can imagine. I thought she would be depressed, and she's like, woo, this is my house.
Got rid of that jerk.
I know.
Well, now think about it. Were you happy to move out of the house away from your brothers when you left?
Oh, God, yeah. So I get
See?
It. I get it, sister. She came to the horse show with us yesterday. She couldn't be happier. She's an only dog. She's like, life is great.
I'm liking this. Well, that's good. Good job, Jamie. That was perfect. Well, Jennifer, yeah. We have a lot of fun on the show today. Tell us about it.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, Glenn continues his holiday obsession by amping up the usual list of awesome or awful holiday tunes by inviting Auditor Mona to challenge Jamie to a Name That Holiday Tune contest. So tune in and play along, everyone. And racing to the end of the show, like a one-horse open sleigh on packed powder, Wiley, the voice of Horse Nation, stops by with another cartload of horse humor. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Well, we hope she stops by. I have not heard from her yet, so either she's oversleeping or I don't know. So we'll have to see if Leslie shows up today.
Maybe she wrecked her sleigh. She's in that snowbank right now.
But anyway, Daily Winnie time. Well, I have a whole bunch of these. Happy birthday to a lot of our listeners. Chelsea Seaver's birthday today. Kat Nielsen's birthday today. Shorty Tarpley's birthday's today. Will Byers' birthday's today. Pamela Robbins' birthday's today. This is like birthday day here. Happy birthday to you all. And, of course, our good friend and Ice Road trucker Lisa Marie Kelly's birthday is today. By the way, Lisa Marie's going to be joining us today. We're recording the driving radio show, and she will be on the driving radio show with us checking in to give us an update of what's going on up there in Alaska. So,
hey, you know what?
Happy birthday.
9.5 months ago was Valentine's Day, Glenn. See? And y'all call it a Hallmark holiday. There you go. That's all I'm
Happy
saying.
Birthday, everybody. You're right.
I know.
Never thought about that. Is that why there's so many born in December? I get it now.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to my horse fighter jet. He was awesome. All my students. I took Abby, Cameron, and Rachel, and they took Duke, Joey, and Jacob, all their horses, to a horse show yesterday. We went to a hunter show to experience jumping flowers and experience competing. And everybody just did so wonderful and had such a great time. And I just wanted to give it a little shout out to all of them. And the Jetster did really well. He was amazing. He's so calm at hunter shows. He's like, this is where I need to be. No more eventing. I like this life.
Well, you know, think about what eventing just starts with. That's enough to stress anybody out, right? Eventing starts with the thoughts. I mean, you're stressed from the time you get off the trailer because you know you got to do that crap. And then you're stressed after because you didn't do that crap real well. So it's just downhill from there. Now, look, he just gets off the trailer. He jogs around, does some jumps, looks pretty, comes home.
Exactly. And, you know, it makes sense because in show jumping was always our best phase. Cross country stressed him out too and stressed me out, but that's when he would act silly in the warm up because he was nervous and he was tense. And so the dressage and the cross country really stressed him out, and show jumping he was so good at. I don't know why I didn't see it so long ago, but so the point is, does anybody want a hunter? I got one for sale now.
A beautiful black one.
No, the black one I'm keeping. The brown one's for sale.
Oh, brown one. Yes, yes, yes. I did watch the video, and it looked really good. You're back to your old hunter roots days. That's where you started, right, with hunters?
Well, you know, bless his heart, Chad went and brought the baby, and he was watching him all day long while I was coaching all the girls and stuff. And, I did hunters for like 15 years before I started eventing at 19. And I still rode hunters until I was about 21. And Chad's like, okay, wait a second. You did this for 15 years? 15 years you did this?
How many rides did it take for Chad to just totally zone out?
Well, we get there, and there's supposed to be two rings, one of all the cross rails and all that, and then the 2 foot supposed to start at 8:30, and one of my students is in it. So we show up at 8 o'clock, and they're like, oh yeah, we had too much rain last week, so we're combining everything, and all those cross rail classes are going first. So yeah, we got there at 8. She did not ride until noon.
Oh.
And I'm like, a simple email, hey guys, we're going to have to combine, we can't use the ring, so show up a little freaking later. So yeah, so it started out not so good for Chad. But I posted a picture of Cameron on the Duke. Now, the problem is, I haven't done hunters for, you know, God, I'm showing my age, but at least 15 years. So I'm not really abreast on all of everything. So Cameron always rides the Duke in like a little Snapple bubble bit, like a little elevator bit. We don't keep it on any of the lower rings. We keep it on the Snapple ring, but that's just the bit that he always uses. I don't know. It just, that's what he has. It fits his giant head. So,
that's not allowed, is it?
Well, it's funny you mention that. Thanks. that would have, no, it's not. And that would have been good information, Glenn, yesterday, because Cameron goes in and does her whole course. And I'm like, yay, Cameron, good job. And I meet her at the gate and they're like, the judge is like, can I talk to you? Okay. So I have to go into the judge's booth and he's like, I just want to let you know I'm not scoring her and I'm eliminating her. And mind you, this is a schooling show, tiny schooling show. There's like five people in each division, okay? I was like, why? Well, her bit is illegal. And I was like, well, it's a snaffle. I mean, it's not even, it's an elevator bit. And I said, well, no, it's not. It's a little bubble bit, but it's on the snaffle hole. It's illegal. And I said, well, can you please not eliminate her? I'll go get another bridle. I'll put another bit in, but can you please not eliminate her? And he goes, I will not eliminate her, but I will give her last place. And here's what you need to know, Missy. You need to learn your hunter rules before you come to the hunter show.
Wait a minute. Did you become...
I don't want to be that girl.
Best girl, best girl, best girl.
Oh, boy, did I. I was like, excuse me? And then somebody, I feel a hand, it was the show organizer who I know very well, grabs me on the back of the shirt. And she's like, Jamie, can you come with me? And I'm like, saved by the bell. So poor Cameron. Well, first of all, she's on a very unfashionable buckskin. Second of all, she is wearing the wrong bridle, and then her coach has already yelled at the judge. So Cameron did not place that well.
No, I guess not.
She had fun, and she got through it. So I posted the video on our Facebook page of the Duke and Cameron in one of their little courses, and they just did so good. They did the 2 foot, and that's the horse I got from our listener, Betty. So I just wanted to say thanks to Betty, too. And sorry, Cameron, I'm sorry I became that girl. Now, the other that girl, I don't know if you saw...
Wait a minute, you can't go past that yet. I'm not done with that. What did the show organizer say to you?
She said, he's telling everybody tidbits like that. You know, he's just trying to help. And I was like, I said, Lorette, if that man says know your hunter rules to me, I was like, are you kidding me? I go, I'm an inventor. I don't do this crap. And I'm like, this is why I don't do it. Like, this is that.
Did you really want to hit him?
Oh my gosh. I told everyone, I'm like, it became the theme for the rest of the day. Like, tighten your girth. Know your hunter rules. Your hunter rules have to be tighten your girth. You know, like, your stirrups are too long. Know your hunter rules. They need to be shorter. Like, it became the theme of the day. So, know your hunter rules. I know. That's exactly, and if I wouldn't have been grabbed by the back of the shirt, that's exactly what I would have told that judge.
Hey, you know, he could have handled it a little bit differently in a schooling show. Give me a break. It's a schooling show.
I was like,
but those hunters take themselves
12.
Very seriously. Schooling on up.
It's a schooling show, and the girl's 12 years old. And clearly, this is her first show. Her parents have brought everyone they know. They're videoing from the side. There's like 16 video cameras going while this child is riding. Like, seriously, catch him. Give him a break. But, yeah, there you go. Know your hunter rules, Glenn.
Okay, hey, apparently I know some of them. I knew that bit wasn't allowed. So,
well, Jennifer didn't. She needs to know her hunter rules.
I don't think that, the elements aren't allowed in most anything. So that's how I knew that.
Cross-country they are, baby. Cross-country they are. And
they'd really like the driving bits, wouldn't they? They'd love the driving bits we use.
Oh, my gosh. And the thing is, we use it as a snaffle. It's just kind of decoration at this point. You know, when you need a bit for a horse, you're like, I need a snaffle, and that was laying there. So we just picked it up and used it, and he's had it for, like, 2 years.
You're on that hole. It's a snaffle bit. That's all it is.
Yeah, yeah. So So the other thing was, if you saw how incredibly successful, I posted a picture, and maybe we can reshare it if you guys want to see. All I did post it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page was Jet with all his blue ribbons and champion. Did you see that?
Saw a very fancy ribbon, and I assumed it was champion.
It was champion. We did the highest division that... Now, I'm going to let you guys in on something.
Now, wait, was this the same judge?
Same judge. This is way later, though. You know, it's like paint drying at a hunter show. It takes 9 hours. So he probably was drunk by the time I started riding because it was like 9 hours later. I know I would have been. So here, go ahead and play the sound effect, Glenn, the That Girl one.
Oh, no. We got another one? Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to be that Yeah, so I'm that girl again because I was in the biggest jump that they had, the biggest division that adult, like professional adults could ride in was two six. So I wanted Jet to get some experience and get some video of him at a hunter show. So that's why I took him and we signed him up for that class. And now the problem is I was the only adult that was in the show that wanted to jump 2.6. So this tiny little schooling show, I'm the only adult in my division. So what do? They combined me. Now, I'm telling you guys this, and I don't want this posted on Facebook because I look really cool on Facebook, but those of you that are listening are going to get the inside skinny here. They combined me with the children. So I had
you
to ride.
You stole ribbons from the children?
I did. I didn't mean to. But I'm the jerk face who went in there with a professional rider on a professional event horse and went in there and did a 2.6 jumping class. It's like, that's like a foot lower than we normally jump, and went in there and kicked around and did great. But I stole ribbons from children. From children! Then I had to do the flat class with them. And I was like, this is horrible. I actually made Jet pick up the wrong lead. The wrong lead. Like, I know how to pick up a lead. I made Jet pick up the wrong lead, so I did not win that class. And he gave me freaking second place. I was like, no, I won in last.
You know what the problem was, Jamie? You should have put Duke's bit on him, and you'd have been just fine.
I should have. That would have been great.
There you go. You'd have been in last place. Kicked out.
So, thanks. Jennifer just typed to me, I'm going to burn in hell. Yes, I know. I didn't want to be combined with the children. I signed up for the open adult division, okay? And they were like, oh, you're the only one. We're going to combine you. And so all these children, they had their braids down their back with little bows on their braids. And here's me, like, on my... Oh,
any consolation,
so
everybody looks 12 in the helmet. So... Maybe they thought you were a lot younger than you are.
I know. Very clearly, the girl has been coaching all day long, gets on her horse and rides around and steals ribbons from children. It was awful. I was like, seriously, can you not judge me? Like, I mean, I thought for sure that the kids were going to win and they would, because this judge hated me anyway. I'm the one who mouthed off to him with that crazy buckskin looking thing. I mean, my God. So I just knew that the George Morris wannabe that was sitting up in the judging booth was going to hate me and give me last place all over the place. My horse doesn't even do flying lead changes. So I was like, oh, we're never going to win. It's not even going to matter. And then they call out the results, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. He clearly forgot who I was.
Are you embarrassed to go get the ribbons?
Oh, it was terrible. And then they're like, here's your champion. And I'm like, oh, this is getting worse.
You know, you're going to send in your application for next year for this show, and it's going to come back full. We're full. No more room.
There's four people in each division, but we're jam-packed.
We're full. Oh,
yeah.
Can't fit you.
Oh, just awful. Just awful. But that is my blessed weekend, and there you go.
That's Well, you know what? It's that time of the year when we call for voicemails. Remember, last couple of years, we've asked people, and our listeners have been so great about this. We had such good ones. We ask you to send in, either call in a voicemail, and we'll give the voicemail line, and Jennifer can publish it too, 859-951-2022. You can call in your voicemails, or you can send us a sound file. Just record it on your phone and send email the sound file over to Glenn at horseradionetwork.com. And we will play them in the week before Christmas. We will be playing some of the messages. And what we're looking for is just if you just want to call in and say happy holidays, you know, we love you guys or whatever. If you want to wish your family a Merry Christmas or your horses, we don't care. If you want to be a little more clever and write a poem or sing a song, you can do that too. We just want to hear from our listeners, and we play them in the, as I said, in the shows in the week. We'll be next week, won't we? Isn't that time already?
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Next week, the week before Christmas. So yes, we'll be playing them in next week's show. So we need to get them in by this Friday if you can. Wow. I didn't realize we were that close. But yeah, we would love to do it. You remember how much fun this was last year? Why don't I do this? Why don't I give a little sample of what we got for last year to give people's creative juices flowing? And we're going to do some prizes this year. So one of the prizes, we're going to do three prizes for the ones we picked to be the most creative, a $25 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections, a gift box from Redmond Rocks, and an Uncle Jimmy's gift pack, so from Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls. So that's what we're going to be doing. We hope that you have time to submit one. And here's a little sample. Last year, Lisa Kelly, whose birthday it is today, sent us one. She was doing the ice road, and she stopped her truck at, she said, like 3 in the morning. She wrote this while she was driving her tractor-trailer truck, and she sent this to us, and I just added a few sound effects. But take a listen to this. It was so much fun.
Good morning, horses in the morning. This is Lisa Kelly, and I wanted to wish everyone a Merry Christmas with a little poem I made up. Was the night before Christmas when all through the house all the critters were stirring, even my spouse. My hubby has back pain, a herniated disc that causes him to kick with a lot of frisk. The kitties are nocturnal and currently engaged in a fight, screeching and howling over a dead Christmas fright. The horses are kicking the feed dish, proclaiming they'll eat whenever they wish. The dog lifts her head and opens an eye as I grab my things and wave goodbye. I'm off to work, you see, because I promised to work this Christmas Eve. As I started my semi and climbed inside, skipping Christmas one more year, I justified. I banged to a load and started my haul, a little more money to finish the stall. Only one more year, I promised my honey. You know how badly we need the money. But I had said this year after year, and I knew I was lying, and so did my dear. Because bills keep coming and things which to spend, I knew the cycle would never really end. We always think just a little bit more, and that soon becomes our eternal war. So while I'm sitting on the road alone, remember that who you've left at home. Don't do as I do as I say, and have yourself a Merry Christmas Day. Merry Christmas, guys, from the road.
That was Lisa Kelly last year sending one of her Christmas wishes in. And then let me just do one more to kind of get you an idea of what we're looking for. And again, you can just call in and say Merry Christmas. That's fine, too. But Uta sent us one, and she was the only one to sing to us in a foreign language.
Hello, this is Uta Shepherd calling from Ohio, and I wanted to wish everybody at the Horse Radio Network, and, of course, especially Horses in the Morning, a wonderful Christmas, and of course a Happy New Year. And I figured I may be the first one to ever sing a German Christmas song. So here we go. O Tannenbaum, O Tannenbaum, mit heusen deine Blätter. Du grünst nicht nur zur Sommerzeit, nein auch im Winter, wenn es schneit. O Tannenbaum, O Tannenbaum, wie treu sind deine Blätter. So that was my rendition, and no, I won't quit my day job. Happy New Year and a wonderful Christmas to everybody.
There were so many good ones over the last couple of years, but we're looking for yours. So, again, you can give us a call and just do a voicemail right over the phone at 859-951-2022. That's our voicemail line. Or you can, you know, record it right on your phone. I mean, every phone now has a voice recorder built into it. And you just take that sound file and you can email it to me at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. Don't worry about adding sound effects and things like that. If you sing a song, we'll add the music to it. We'll do all that part. But just send it off. Or if you just want to call and say Merry Christmas, you can do that too. Anything is fine. We just want to hear from you.
Yeah, and just so you know, Glenn sent me something and was like, hey, can you sing this on the show? And I was like, I don't sing on command. So you guys can go ahead and sing. I sing when my heart feels it.
I just got a note from Uta. Oh, my God, tell me you didn't.
If you you're discouraging people from singing, Glenn, if they know you're going to be played every year. You can say this is for 2014 only and the whole thing, so.
No, I mean, we just had to give a couple examples, you know, that's all. Mm-hmm. Here, let's do this. Here's a couple more examples. These are just ordinary, just people saying Merry Christmas. I think you're going to like
it. Merry Christmas.
Hi, this is Anita Hamilton calling from Elverson, Pennsylvania. I'm calling to wish everybody at the Horse Radio Network a Merry Christmas. And I have a rhetorical question. Is someone really a horsey husband if he has a pony that he dotes on and a Christmas gift that has a comma? I think that makes Jen a horsey wife. Merry Christmas to everyone.
So those kind of things are welcome, too.
Yeah.
I think she was picking on me. I think so. Yeah, I think so, too.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, you guys give us a call, record it, send it to Glenn. I sing a song. Like I said, I don't sing on command, so you have to feel it. You have to feel it. So get somewhere festive, sing a song. We'll play it for years to come, and Glenn will embarrass you for the rest of your life.
That's right. We promise to do that. And we have some fun gifts, too. But that is not what it's all about. It's all about hearing from our listeners.
It's all
prize,
about prizes.
And holiday presents. We have holiday presents for those people. We have gifts.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Well, let's do this. Let's hear from Omega Alpha Equine. They are our sponsor for the day. And then we're going to play a little game with one of our auditors today. And we're going to put Jamie on the spot.
Winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horse's respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack and feed supplier or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, we also can follow them on Facebook. Just search for Omega Alpha Equine. You know, I have a sister-in-law that's actually using the pre-mare for her mare gets a little...
On her mare.
On her mare, yeah. Her mare gets a little... She gets a little grumpy every once in a while, and the premier really has helped keep that under control. She's an older, right, Jennifer? Isn't she almost 20, the mare?
Yes.
So, yeah, so it really does work, and I need to order myself some Lung Flush today. I don't know what's up with that, but I'll get to that after the show. Thank you to Omega Alpha for their continued support. We really, really do appreciate it. I have one other thank you from a sponsor, and that is Joseph from EquityMFG.com, our friend over there with the flexion fork and the shaken fork, who has said that he's receiving a record number of orders this year, and he wrote us an email and said to thank everybody that there's a lot of husbands and boyfriends coming in, and the only place he can attribute that to is us here at Horses in the Morning. So, Joseph says thank you to everybody, and keep the orders coming. He can still get your orders out for the holidays. So we appreciate all of our sponsors here on the show. right, we're going to
call in. Joseph should call in and sing too. And Glenn, just so you know, for the holidays, I realized that you are in need of some new Christmas presents. And Jennifer, I have an idea for a new Christmas present for Glenn. So tell me what you think about getting him this.
I'd have to get new tights.
Let me guess. Who helped you with that little sound file? Let me just guess. Robin helped you. She is now banned three times. She has three bands. She will never be on the show again, ever. I'm going to post her picture.
Every once in a while, Glenn just says something, and I'm like, what did he just say? Did that just really happen? I mean,
I'd have to get new tights. See, the damn live show, I can't cut it out.
I have to get new tights. Why does one need tights when you're a male human? I don't know, but apparently Glenn likes to wear them. So, Jennifer,
I'd have to get new tights.
There you go. He needs new tights.
All right, moving on. We are going to be playing a little game called Name That Holiday Tune. I spent 2 hours yesterday getting this ready with all the sound files. I reached out to our auditors and said, would somebody like to play against Jamie? And it'd just be for fun. You know, there's not much riding on the line here except, pride. So then I heard from Mona responded first. And Mona Wheeler, and she is an auditor of ours and a very longtime listener of the show. And hi, Mona. Good morning.
Morning. How are y'all doing?
Good. Hey, now, Mona, tell them what you told me yesterday that kind of makes you a little bit of a ringer for this competition.
Oh, my goodness. I've been listening to Christmas music since the beginning of November. I think I've been training my whole life for this moment.
Hey, Mona, are you wearing tights right now?
No, I'm wearing Christmas pajamas.
Oh, you are
awesome.
Awesome. You are so screwed, Jamie. This woman lives Christmas.
Although, Glenn, you forget that I may have been training my entire life for this too, or at least a very specific part of my life, because I worked at the Gap during holiday season when I was 16 years old. And I have heard every Christmas song 4,000 times, which is why I get a little burnout on them every now and then. So, Mona, this may be a good pairing, is what I'm saying.
It might be. I worked at American Eagle for a Christmas season.
Oh, that's probably worse.
Ooh. Same thing. All right. Well, you may have to be
American Eagle today.
It's the battle of the mall clothing stores. Bring it on!
All right. This is how the game's going to go. I have about a 20-second clip, because that's all we're allowed to play, of these songs. And you just, when you know it, shout out your name, and that'll be your buzzer. So either one of you shout out your name, and then I'll stop it, and then we'll see. Now, you have to get the name of the... Now, Jennifer can do a ruling on this. She's the judge, and she has to keep score. Do we need the name of the song and the artist, or just one or the other?
We need one or the other, because these are tough.
And if you know both, we'll give you an extra point. So you can get an extra point if you know.
Right.
Now, the thing is, we're not going to give you much time here because I actually have the top 15, so we'll see how many of these we can get through. But and I'm not telling you where I got this list from, but these are the most popular holiday songs. So that's going to give you a little clue. But I'm not saying where I got the list from because Jamie will cheat and go look it up. So
I'm Googling right now. Just kidding.
So you're not going to know where this came from. All right. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Are you
ready?
All right, okay. Mona, you're ready. Okay, so Mona, you're a little quiet on the phone. You make sure you say really loud your name, okay?
Your name is your buzzer. So when we hit the buzzer, are you going to stop the music or are we going to...
Yeah, I'll stop the music. I'll stop the music.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Here's the first one.
Oh, my gosh. Jamie.
Okay, Jamie.
That is the guy who... George Michael.
Nope. Wrong. You got a guess there, Mona?
No, I don't think I was alive when that song was in.
No, you're not going to be alive for a lot of these songs. These are the most popular of all time, so.
That is George Michael. Keep playing it. Who is that?
Play what? Again? Okay, there.
It's the worst.
It's just the whole last part of.
Oh, I know where the problem is. Jennifer.
I'll see someone fetch
Jennifer.
It's Wham, right, Glenn?
It is
W-H-A-M.
Wham. That is right.
George
it's
Michael
Wham.
Is the lead singer of Wham.
George Michael is the freaking lead singer. I got that right.
Oh, you did get that right, I guess.
Woo! That's right. And let me tell you, Mona, bless your heart, I worked at the Gap when that was the most popular song, so I'm old.
You're right, Jamie. You're right. It was 1984. Yep.
Yeah, okay, I didn't work at the Gap then. It wasn't that early, but it was still on rotation.
Well, it's still on rotation. I got news for you. It's probably still being played at the Gap. All right, number 14, as Jamie takes an early lead, 1-0 here. Number 14 is this one. Let's see.
Mona.
That's the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
That is correct. That's Trans-Siberian Orchestra. You know which one that was? Mm. Which song?
Oh, I have it. I just don't remember the name of it.
Nobody ever remembers the name of TSO songs. Just, we know the music and we know the name of the, but we don't know the song. I agree. And I'm a TSO fan. That was Christmas Canon is the one. It's called Christmas Canon, and it is one of the most popular. Number 14 on the most popular list. So one all tied up here.
All right.
All right. Here we go now. You better be ready to buzz in quick on this one.
Mona. Jamie.
Bono's first.
For the White Christmas.
By who?
Bing Crosby.
2 points for Mona. White Christmas by Bing Crosby.
Newman. She is going to kick my butt. She got double points on that.
You know, that song has estimated sales in excess of 100 million over the lifetime of that song. And that was made in the 1950s. 100 million. According to the World Book of Records, it's the best-selling single of all time of any music.
Wow. Hey, do you know how many times I've bought it? Zero.
Do you know also that song has been used in over 100 movies over the years? So, yeah, a lot of history to that one. All right, now the next one, number 12, most popular song of all time.
Oh, Mona.
Mona.
That's the Trans-Siberian Orchestra again.
That is right. That is the Trans-Siberian Orchestra again. Do you know the name?
The Carol of the Bells.
It has a different name.
It does? It's Carol of the Drum.
Nope, is it? Has a different name. Nope.
They gave it a different name.
Right?
They gave
a
it
little
a,
drummer
here,
boy?
Play a little bit. I love this song. So let's play a little bit more of it, and you guys can see if you can come up with a name.
The Little Drummer Boy, isn't it?
No. It's past the day here.
Canon of the Bell?
Angels we have heard on high.
Nope.
We Three Kings?
Nope.
This is crap.
All right, that's Christmas in Sarajevo. That's from their...
All I can think of in the lyrics is, was born on Christmas Day. I can't think of the first three syllables. Was born on Christmas Day?
Yeah. Now, listen, Glenn, because you're such a TSO fan, do I need to ring in every freaking song and say, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and I'll get it right?
No, I'm just
going to
my list. This was not my list. These are the top 15 most popular songs. And good. By the way, this is the second on the list of all-time best-selling Christmas singles in the, in digital download. That song.
God rest you, merry gentlemen. Gosh. Thank you. Sorry.
That's right. That's right.
That's the tune.
But yeah, second favorite download of all time. And we'll see.
Number one
is on this list too later on. So, okay, what's the score, Jennifer? Keep it score here.
The score is Jamie 1, Mona 4.
Can you say that again? I didn't hear you.
Jamie is number one. Jamie is number one. Mona has 4 points.
She has 3 points.
No, she got double points for Bing Crosby.
Yeah, she did. All right, okay. Number 11. Here we go. You guys ready? Here we go.
Bring me some Wham. Oh, who is this?
I always change the radio.
You know them.
I said Jamie.
Okay.
Jamie. Did you not hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Got the name. Who sang it?
That is, God, is that George Michael again? No, it's not. I don't know who that is because it's terrible.
You're in the right genre. You're in the right area.
Yeah. I don't know. Sorry.
Paul McCartney did that. Yeah. Do you know, get this, guys, that he makes $400,000 a year in royalties still from this song? $400,000
a
year.
That's crazy. That song is terrible.
It's awful, right?
His cumulative earnings for that song as of 2013 were over $15 million for that song.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Number 10.
That's a Gap song. So.
Yes, it is.
I think people. There's a new batch of people every year that buy it on YouTube.
You're right.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Who said it first, Jamie?
Beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
That is correct. Who sang it?
Yay! I don't know.
You don't know? Do you know who sang it, Mona?
Bing Crosby?
No. Johnny Mathis. Johnny Mathis sang. 1986. Yep, 1986. Do you know what movie it was in? A bonus point for anybody who can name the most popular movie that was in.
Ding, 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 ding.
Don't know? Jennifer, do you know?
Home Alone?
Yeah, right, Home Alone. You're right. Exactly. Oh. Jennifer gets a point.
I get a point.
Wait a second. What's the score?
Jennifer has 1 point. It is Mona 4, Jamie 3. She's closing.
I'm back.
Closing in.
I'm back.
All right. Let's take a listen. This is number 9 on the hit parade. This is a tough one, you guys. We'll see who gets it.
Jamie.
Jamie, I think you were in there.
Is that Winter Wonderland?
Nope. Mona?
Oh, I listen to this all the time.
Yes, everybody does. It's played on every radio station in the world endlessly. All right, let's
probably
hear
on
one
your
more.
Christmas pajama pants. Oh, I.
Let me get to the.
Mona. Is this Mona? Winter Wonderland?
No.
Is it Sleigh Bells Ring?
But what's the song? Play Ride. That is correct. Who said that? Was that Jamie?
That was
Play
Jamie.
Ride. Yeah, Play Ride is the name of the song. Now, 2 points for anybody that in 2 seconds can tell me who the guy was that sang it. One, two. Leroy Anderson in 1946, right after
World
War
II. You know
what? Yeah.
If Mona would have guessed that, I'd have said she wins.
All right, so let's continue on here. Number eight. Now, this one, we'll see who gets this. You know this one, but we'll see if you know the name of it and who sang it. Wait a minute, number eight. Right one.
It's Christmas time.
I always change the station when this comes on.
At Christmas time, we let in light
Jennifer.
And we vanish
Jennifer!
The other two don't know.
Do they know it's Christmas?
Yeah, that's right. That's the name of the song. It's Do They Know It's Christmas? And who sang it?
Band Aid.
That's right, Band Aid. That is correct.
I get 2 points!
Mona, Jennifer's going to beat us. Currently, she's tied with me at 3.
She's playing the game. It was done for famine relief in Ethiopia in 1983. It was written by Bob Geldof, but a whole bunch of people came in and sang it, and, you know, that's how it became Band-Aid, and done 1983.
If you would have played We Are the World, I would have got that one.
And you know what? This original version of that idea was bringing all of them together. This was the first time that happened.
How is that on the top of the list?
That's still up there. And Mona, how many times do you hear it on the radio?
Like 8,000 times.
See, there you go. That's why it's still on the top of the list. All right, number 7. You guys know this one. What do you get? No?
Mona.
Yeah, go ahead.
Feliz Navidad.
Yes, Feliz Navidad. That's all you said.
Oh, God.
Who sang it, Mona? Oh, come on, Mona.
Jose. Is his first name Jose?
Yes. What's his last name?
Are you serious? I was totally guessing. I was almost being a little racist.
Mona, do you know it now?
Jose.
Jose Feliciano.
Yeah, I have the Michael Bublé version.
Well, they're about the same.
That's better. La Cucaracha. Is that the same guy saying La Cucaracha? God.
It might be, actually.
Move on. I'm getting too deep here.
Here we go.
Half a point for me.
Oh, this is Christmas. And what have you done?
Mona.
That's John Lennon.
Yes, it is. And what's the song called?
I know.
This is Christmas?
No.
No. It's close.
War is over. You guys get me singing.
Yeah, I think we give a point to each there. Happy Christmas, the war is over. That is correct. John Lennon. So I think Jamie or Jennifer will give them each a point. Who wrote that song? An extra point for who wrote it.
John Lennon.
And?
Paul McCartney.
No! Oh. Mona?
That other guy in the Beatles?
Of course! Was it Michael Jackson? They collaborated.
Oh, it was Yoko Ono. His better half. Right.
I knew I hated that song.
Whatever. And Yoko Ono was actually in the singing of that song that you just heard, and the Harlem Community Choir was who did the backup.
Yoko Ono broke up the Beatles. People are still mad at her.
True. All right, number 5 on the hit parade.
I always wanted to be a Yoko Ono, break up a band.
Yeah.
It's the most wonderful time.
Wonderful time. I got Jamie.
Yeah, Mona, I don't know why you didn't jump in on that one. Jamie.
The
the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, that is correct. Do you know who sang it?
Yeah, Will Ferrell in the greatest Saturday Night Live skit of all time. So there you go.
Do you know who originally sang it, Mona?
Bing Crosby.
Mona's go-to answer, Bing Crosby. No, Andy Williams, and they're about the same generation. So, yes, that would be...
Can I just say that, Mona, I like that you say Bing Crosby and everybody. That's awesome.
I'm about to get
you
it right
at the time
some point.
Right, you know?
Yeah,
Jennifer, what is our score currently? We got four left here.
Jamie's at 6.5. And Mona is at 6.
Ooh, Jamie.
One rail between them. One rail.
Oh, wow. Mona. Come on, step up here, Mona. All right. Here's number 4. 4 more to go. Come on, Mona. I'm on your side.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Glenn. Jamie.
Really?
Whoa.
Wow.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. That's Mariah Carey.
That is right.
There
and what's the song
just
called?
I'll get to it. Hold on. I don't care. All I want for Christmas is you.
That's right. Did you really just sit there by singing the song?
You know how many times I've seen the movie Love Actually where that's in it? Probably 8,000. So that's like how she starts the very end of the song, but Mariah is the one that made that one famous.
Well, you know when I said earlier that the TSO song was number 2 in digital downloads in the world, this is number 1. That Mariah Carey song is the best-selling single of all time.
Oh, my gosh.
That's international. That's around the world, so...
Yeah, people love their Christmas music. That's crazy.
They do. Number 3. You know why? I think because it speaks to everybody, you know, around the world, no matter who you are. Christmas music speaks the same language. I think that's kind of why. This next one, you know the song, but I'll be darned. I'll give you 2 points if you can name who actually sang it.
Accepted.
Okay, guesses?
Jingle Bell Rock.
Yes, Jingle Bell Rock. Mona got that. Now, who sang it, Mona?
Bing Crosby.
Berry.
Mona, talk a little louder. We can barely hear you.
Chuck Berry?
No, not Chuck Berry. Nope. Hmm. I don't think anybody's going to get this, to be honest.
Bing Crosby?
It's a guy by the name, in 1957, by the name of Bobby Helms. No idea. Who that is.
Bobby Helms.
He's the one that did Jingle Bell Rock, 1957.
Yes.
Biggest hit of that year. Number 2, you're both going to know this one, but will you know who sang it? Another 2-pointer if you can guess who sang it.
Mona.
Mona.
Oh, Jamie.
Mona's first. Go ahead.
It's Jingle Bell Rock. I mean.
Oh.
Nope. Nope.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
I know you both were at the same time there. I don't know who was first. So we'll give you each a point. Now, 2 points for the person who can say the name of the woman who sang it.
Rocking around the Christmas tree. I don't know. Mike. Mariah Carey. I knew we should have Googled this the other
I will tell you that Mariah Carey wasn't born yet.
Christmas tree at the Christmas party.
Oh, is that Brenda Lee?
That's right. How did you get that?
No, that's the gap, man. That is the gap. And that song is from like 1920 or something.
No,
Brenda Lee is like...
1958.
Oh, she's like 100. How
do you know how old
one of those
she was? Take a guess at how old she was when she sang that song and it became a hit.
She was like 12 or something.
Yeah, she was 13 years old. That's right.
Oh, my God.
She sounds
God.
Like she's 50.
I am
Take
Cliff
a listen
Clavin
to her voice
today.
And tell me that's a 12-year-old. Let's listen again. Tell me that's a 12-year-old.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
That does not sound like no 12-year-old. Wow.
She sounds like an old smoker.
rocking around the Christmas tree.
Now, let's see. Jennifer, has Jamie pulled out in the lead here?
All right, Jamie is 11.5. Oh, Mona has dropped down to 8.
Whoa, Mona. What are we going to do?
I like how you and I have spent so many years together as a team. And here you are, like, snuffing me out trying to get Mona to win. I got it.
You know who pays our bills, Jamie, in the long run? The listeners. So I'm going to read the listeners. Number one on the hit parade. Be ready. Here you go. All right. Two notes. Who can guess it?
I know it. I'm going to let Mona go.
You do.
Jen. Jen.
Mona, you got anything?
Mona, you
got
anything?
It sounds familiar. Is that being
You want more? All right, we'll give you more. Here you go. Let it play. One point.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
I mean, Mona.
Yes. Go ahead, Mona.
The Christmas song.
Yes, that's correct. The Christmas song. And who sang it?
Bing Crosby.
I had to let you have that one. I mean, my God, I just had to let it go. I'm like, this is hers. She owns this one.
It's kind of the, it would be the black version of Bing Crosby at the time. I gave you a hint. 1946, the year after World War II ended, Capitol Records. Nat King Cole sang that, and...
Oh, my gosh, it wasn't Bing Crosby? I totally thought it was, Mona.
No, it's Nat King Cole. And you know what happened? He sang that song, and it didn't like it, and he went to Capitol Records. It was a hit, and he hated it. So he went to Capitol Records and said he wanted to make a new version of it, and he wanted to put a small string section because he had done it without strings behind it. And they said, no, you can't do it. Well, he went out and did it anyway in a studio and made him release it the next year. It became one of the biggest hits of all time, thanks to his revision of it. So it was because Nat King Cole was a pain in the ass that song has become number one.
Nat King Cole honestly could sing The Phone Book and it would be a smash hit. Really.
You're absolutely right about that.
Except for Mona and I thought he was Bing Crosby. That's just whatever.
Same time frame, though. Same time frame. Well, that's it, you guys. But Mona, you guessed a whole bunch of them, but you know what? The old DJ probably comes out on top here, huh? Oh, Jamie just dropped off. Matter of fact, I've lost Jennifer and Jamie. Are you still there, Mona?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, good, because it looks like you're co-hosting the show right now with
Woo!
Me. I hope we're still on, because we have lost Jennifer and Jamie at this point. They have both dropped off. Maybe somebody could post on Facebook whether we still are on or not.
Still on, and we're just talking to each other.
That could be. That very well could be. And they're trying to get back.
Glenn all by himself.
Hello? I'm here.
Hello?
I'm here. Okay. What happened? All of a sudden I got...
It was just me all by myself.
Hi, Mona.
Hey. Let's see who else we've got here. We've got Mona and we've got Jen. So Jamie and Glenn have left the building. So it's just us. So Mona, you're going to win with 45 points.
Woo! I win.
How many did you get? Did you get the last one? Because it cut me off and it's killing me that I don't know the title of the last song.
The last song was the Christmas song. And it was not by Bing Crosby.
Johnny Mathis.
Nat King Cole.
Oh, man. So close. Minus one for me. Everything has gone silent, so we're just going to hang out together. I think we might have Leslie Wiley here. Let me hit this button. Good morning. Is this Leslie?
It is.
Good morning, Leslie. Welcome, welcome to the circus and the electronic nightmare that is Horses in the Morning.
You guys are out of control this morning.
I'm back.
I'm here.
I called in on the phone. Apparently, Skype just gave up on all of us, so
yep.
I have called back in on the phone. Oh, where are we at?
I'm here. We've got Mona, and we've got me, and we've got Leslie.
Oh, okay, good.
Sounds like a party.
That's terrific. Well, hi, Leslie. Thank you, Mona, for playing. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon. Congratulations. You did good. I think you won. I think Jamie was cheating.
Oh, yeah. Chelsea scored one. She has 45 points. Yeah.
While you guys were gone, she voted.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, that's great. Well, congratulations, Mona. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Mona, be sure to send in a singing voicemail. Remember that for the show.
I will try.
Okay.
I'm not much of a singer, so you might not want my voicemail.
Well, look at Jamie. She's not much of a singer, and she's been doing it for years. So. All right. Thanks, Mona.
Bye.
Well, let's do this. Leslie, we're going to get right back to you. Jamie's still trying to get back through to the system, and I am going to go ahead and play a commercial for one of our terrific sponsors. It's still not too late to get a custom farm sign for your farm or a stall nameplate or whatever you need or want to give for a holiday gift with EasySignsOnline.com.
With Christmas season fast approaching, it's time to start planning a custom gift that will last for many years to come. Visit our friends at EasySignsOnline.com and browse their unique website for their many custom sign options and styles.
With affordable prices for customized signs starting at $39.95, your holiday gift giving just got easier. Their step-by-step online sign ordering process allows you to choose only the sign options you want and see all the pricing up front. From horse farm entrance signs, vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs to stall nameplates, and much, much more for every horse owner. Place your order early to allow plenty of time for Christmas delivery. Check out the website today at EasySignsOnline.com. That's EasySignsOnline.com or call them at 1-800-640-8180. That's 1-800-640-8180. Well, I think that we're back here. I think Jamie's back on the phone. Skype appeared to have had a meltdown and knocked us all off. So are you there, Jamie?
What? Yes, I'm here. That was crazy. I'm like, hello? And then I talked to Mona for a second. Mona, I do apologize for that. I'm pretty sure that Glenn had something to do with that since I actually won the competition. He just decided to end the show. So thanks for that, Glenn.
You're welcome. And actually, while we were both gone, because I got knocked off too, Mona decided she won and gave herself 26 points because she was hosting the show there for about 3 minutes. So
you know what? You can have it. You can have it, Mona. You were all by yourself. I was for 5 seconds. I was like, hello? Hello? Mona?
Nothing like guest nightmare, right? You get to be the only one left. All the hosts are gone and you're still sitting there.
We will
never
I'm
have
so
another caller again. Ever.
No.
Ellen did pipe in and say we never went off the air, so that was good. I was afraid we were totally off the air, but apparently people were listening to Mona give herself points.
See, Mona took over the world. So
it was
Mona's
fun. I know we got
over.
It kind of ruined there, all getting knocked off the end, but that was fun. It was fun to do. By the way, that list was the top songs played on radio every year by the Radio Association. So that's where that list came from. That's where it was. But if I told you that, you would have known how to look it up.
Well, I just want to let everybody know that The Gap was victorious. It beat out American Eagle. So
yes, it did.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think it does in sales, too. So kind of fits. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek, and here with on the phone, Jamie Jennings now, and an on the phone producer who really is supposed to be hosting the show and have the best connection, and that's Jennifer, who doesn't right now. So I think I'm the only one on Skype at this point. Yeah, let's do this. And now, coming to us live from Horse Nation, our own Rockin' Elf, Smiley Wiley, with the Wacky World of Horses. And before we get into things with Smiley Wiley, like we do with the Wacky World of Horses, the things that have shown up on Horse Nation over the past week, I did not get an email, so I don't know what we're talking about. To let you know.
It definitely wasn't because I went to a Christmas party last night and overslept this morning and then forgot to email you. It's because I have a Christmas surprise.
Oh, you do?
That means he's disorganized.
Before we get to your Christmas surprise, I have one for you. Because we're encouraging people to call in like we encouraged them to do last year and leave us voicemails or sing us a song or write us a poem. And I think everybody will probably have forgotten the tremendous effort that was put in by Leslie Wiley last year, who submitted her entry. And Jamie, I would think you've probably forgotten and want to hear it again too, don't you?
I would love to, Glenn. I would love to.
This is Leslie's entry from last year.
Hello there, horses in the morning. This is Leslie Wiley from the Wacky World of Horse Nation, calling to wish you a Merry Christmas and say thank you for letting us crash your show every Monday morning. We wanted to do something special for you guys, so we hired an amazing singing horse to serenade you and your listeners with a festive Christmas carol. Come on out here, singing horse. Here goes. From all of us here at HorseNation.com, here's wishing you and your loved ones a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year.
I did that to set an example for everybody to show that you can make a complete idiot of yourself and still submit them. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we fired that singing horse right after that last year.
Leslie, just so you know, Glenn, just a little payback. Glenn has told everybody what he wants for Christmas, and I took a piece of that clip. So here you go. This is me embarrassing Glenn.
I'd have to get new tights.
Yes, he says he needs new tights. You heard it right. He needs tights.
Robin, I hate you.
Payback.
So Leslie, congratulations on a milestone for Horse Nation last week. And most people aren't even going to know what Reddit is, but Reddit's kind of a place where people put news stories in that they like, and then they vote them up or down. And it's very popular in the tech community, especially. And if you make it on Reddit, your post will go viral very, very, very quickly. And tell us which post you had, and then tell us how many views it's had.
Oh, no, this is really embarrassing. This is not how I thought my life would turn out. When I went to grad school for journalism.
Okay, so what was the post about?
So I wake up one morning last week, and I'm like, okay, suddenly one of our posts has, 300,000 views. And I was like, what happened? Something seems to have happened overnight, because it was not an impressive story. It was not, I mean, no offense to the author, but it was not her tour de force. It was about a drunk dude in Portland who decided to let the police horses free them.
Yeah, Jamie covered that story last week, even before you posted it, and it was like, what?
Yeah. But, so, and then somebody messaged me, and they're like, oh, you, that's because you guys, the story is on the homepage of Reddit. It was like number 17, like right under, let's see, what beat us out? Another story called Some Painful Mustache Removal Methods. it was right there. Man gets drunk, sets police horses free. So that happened last week. People apparently on the internet like that story.
It has 309,000 views. Goes to the power of going viral, right? And having the right person post it in the right place.
as Carla Lake, the gal that wrote that story, put it, the internet hive mind is so weird.
Well, you had another story, and it was a horrible story, go viral too, that had 126,000 views. I don't know the story of this woman, but I don't really want to talk about it and bring down a fun show. But it was the story of Monica Thors, that wacko lady in New Jersey there. But yeah, your story really went viral there. That one went crazy.
And that was one that was actually, it was like, okay, yeah, this is legit. This is a story that actually kind of, like, it was really well written and kind of needed to get out there. But drunk man sets police horses free, not so much. Man gets drunk, sets police horses free. Yeah.
But you know what? Man. Who cares? Right? Never gets them there.
Right.
It is sad that you put most effort into and you take hours to write them and that you proofread them and you get your friends to proofread them and then you post them, get 29 views. And then the story about the guy who sets the police horses free gets 300,000. So
yeah, you just never know. That's like, it's an adventure. Living here on the internet is an adventure. Every day of my life. You just never know what's going to happen next.
Did you see the story, Jamie, about that they posted about the jockey who stole the crop mid-race, who stole another jockey's crop?
Yeah, I didn't see the video, but I saw the headline on Facebook. Let's see, I'm going to click on it right now. Do you, you know that Leslie Wiley has something to do with it, and you're like, yeah, the title is, yeah, it's against the rules, but it's also 100% balla. I can hear you saying that, girl.
It is so funny. He just, like, takes, he's just like, whoop, a drop whip or whatever. and just
he did.
Took
he
it
just
out of,
over and grabbed it out of the other guy's hand.
Oh, man. So good.
Now,
what
I don't get, so the jockey that he took it from was also suspended?
Carla Lake wrote this article.
It says in the because of this incident, both jockeys have been suspended for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Maybe they collaborated. So they were sharing crops.
They're sharing
maybe
crops.
Maybe he said, "Hey, bro, do you mind if I borrow your crop there?" And he's like, "Oh, sure, here you go." Maybe
we
he
care.
Handed
we're
it to him.
We're both gonna lose. Like, here you go, mate.
Yeah, who cares? Look at the back. Who cares? Don't be loaded.
Sure.
You're gonna see it.
Oh man!
What else was good on Horse Nation last week?
Oh man! Well, you know, I want you to know that anytime you guys are ready, I am. I've been practicing my renditions of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" at Horse Nation and a Wiley classic, holiday classic, "Santa Baby," the equestrian version.
You're ready to sing them?
Christmas at Horses in the Morning would be complete without a performance. a humiliating performance.
Jamie, I'm ready. I'm all game. We got time. I'm ready.
You ready?
We're ready.
I'll give you a choice. I told you guys I had a surprise, and that's why I didn't email you.
Made up about 5 minutes before the show started.
Right. I'll give you a choice. You can either, I can either do a recital of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" at Horse Nation, or "Santa Baby," the equestrian version. Up to you guys.
Jamie, you choose. You pick, Jamie.
Okay, well, I do think that we have the Santa Baby audio from last year. Am I right, Glenn?
The one I just played?
She sang Santa Baby one time already, but
that was,
we have...
That was the singing horse, Glenn. Did it scream?
Yeah.
Yes, sorry.
That wasn't even me.
That wasn't her.
Okay, we have heard the Santa Baby, but apparently Glenn doesn't remember it. So, Leslie, bring it on. Let's hear it again.
Okay.
My least favorite song, by the way, of all time.
That's why I picked it.
Yeah, I knew you did.
Okay, guys, shut up. I'm about to sing.
Get serious here. Get serious.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
And I'm ready.
Santa baby, sleep, slip a stallion under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the hayloft tonight. Santa baby, 2014 F-352 in blue, with a tow package, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the hayloft tonight. Think of all the trainers, butts I've kissed. Think of all the distances I haven't missed. Next year, I'm sure this could be me. Insert a GIF of guy jumping a 7.5-foot high jump.
Poussance, yeah. Gotcha.
If you'll just check off my Christmas list, Santa baby, I want a rig, and really that's not so big. With living quarters, preferably. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the hayloft tonight. Santa honey, there's one thing that I really do need, the deed to a Wellington farm, Santa honey, so hurry down the hayloft tonight. Santa cutie, I need a hot, stable hand named Tex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the hayloft tonight. Come and leave my horse a snack, a lifetime supply of supplements from Smart Pack. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring, an indoor ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the hayloft tonight. Ta-da!
Yay!
Woohoo! Very well
Yay!
Done.
Hold on, I got, let's see, here we go, this is for you.
That takes a lot of guts. Takes a lot of guts. Good job. See,
unlike me, Leslie sings on command. She's got mad skills. So, Leslie, you're the best.
By the way, I remember who sang that last year. It wasn't Leslie. It was Ruby, our listener in Arizona, who sang that for us last year. She sang that version of it for us.
I don't think it was
Ruby. So, yeah, Leslie, good job. I didn't know you were a true vocal artist. But you live in Tennessee. Apparently just rubs off.
I've been practicing all year. I'm from Dolly Parton's hometown. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna sing.
I mean, yeah. Did you have a floor and shoes?
Yeah. Okay. not as cool as Dolly.
Yeah. That was very well done. Very well done. Well, if you're coming on next week, you can sing the other one.
Okay. I'll work on my repertoire.
All right. Gives you another week to practice the other one. That was my most favorite version of that song ever, because I hate that song with a passion. So that was my most favorite version ever. Very well done.
Love it.
Anytime.
Great job, Leslie. Great job.
Sure thing, guys. Anything for you guys.
Thank you, Leslie.
Anything for Horse in the Morning.
HorseNation.com for all the wacky world of horse stories that you'd ever want. Head to horsenation.com. We'll talk to you next week, Leslie.
And Leslie, thank you for the cold days, hot nights, 8 flicks to watch with photos of very hot guys on horses and movies. Just that's all I needed to say.
We got you, girl. We got you, girl.
All right, lovely. Love you, Leslie. Talk to you next week.
Bye, Leslie.
Bye.
Wow, does it seem like a Friday? Is it Friday? Can it be Friday? Can we make it Friday?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Do I have to go to another horse show next weekend? I don't think I want it to be Friday. I need a week.
You're the only one that went to the horse show last weekend. Everybody else was too cold or they haven't even started here in Florida yet.
I know, right? We're so spoiled. I mean, we were bathing the horses on Saturday. I like posting pictures. Ha, my life is awesome. Come summer, I hate myself. So don't think it's really all that great.
Well, we apologize for the problem in the middle of the show there, but apparently Mona just took control and handled the situation. So we appreciate that. She gets the award as the best fill-in co-host that was not booked as a fill-in co-host. So, good job. We appreciate that. Now, before we end the show today, we've had a lot of fun, and we hope that you enjoyed our little time. You know, this time of year, we try and relax a little, and there's not a lot of news, to be honest with you. The horse news goes away in December and January, and then it kicks back up again in February. But we try and have a little fun with the show. We will be here tomorrow, though. However, Jennifer, we have, if I am right, who do we have tomorrow? We have Endurance, right? Yeah, we have Endurance show tomorrow. And then we have Mary Kitzmiller for the first time on Thursday with her monthly stint here co-hosting. Yep. So you can look for that. One of the things I wanted to talk about at the end of the show here today, getting a little more serious, is that the New York carriage horse situation is getting a little more interesting in that the mayor is bringing the bill down to City Hall today to put it into the city council for a vote. And the Teamsters Union, who represents the drivers, the carriage drivers there in New York, has decided to do a rally. And I know some of our listeners have piped in this morning. Ellen's one of them, and a couple of others are heading down to City Hall for the rally starting at noontime on the steps of City Hall. I know that the Teamsters Union has asked their members to be there. As I said earlier in the show, the Cabbie Union has now come out. That must have a real name. I call it the Cabbie Union. Are going to be out there in force. The people are supporting the carriage drivers are going to be there, and I'm sure the other side is going to be there as well. John Katz, our favorite author, is heading down from upstate New York for his first rally ever. He said he's never been to a rally. He contacted me this morning and said he's taking the train down with his wife because he feels so passionately and strongly about this. So we wanted to offer our support from a distance and wish them well. I hope it goes peacefully. Ellen said there's been a whole bunch of protests in town because of the Ferguson thing anyway, so the police horses have been out in force, and they expect a large police presence there today. So we wish them well and that they have a nice, safe rally there at City Hall. John Katz also asked me to do something else. He wrote a statement, and it's a little long, so that's why we thought we'd do it at the end of the show here today. He asked me to read the statement to you. It was his statement in support of the carriage drivers and the people who work for them in New York City, and it also talks a lot about what's happening in the world and about the animal rights movement. And I read it, and I said, yes, I'll read that this morning. So I want to read it to you. We'll end the show with that. I think it says a lot about where we are in the country and the world as far as animal rights are concerned. And John, you know, we talked about this last week, Jamie, when you and I talked about it. John writes so much better than, I mean, he just says everything we're trying to say, but he does it eloquently and much, much better than we do. So I'm going to read this to you here, and hopefully you'll get a lot out of it, and it'll mean something to you personally, because we all own horses, and we're all part of that world. I did record this earlier, because it was so long, I wanted to make sure I got it right. So, Jamie, we're going to say goodbye to you at this point. And everybody, have a great day. We hope you enjoyed our little bit of fun here today. We'll be back. Jamie will be back on Wednesday, and we'll be back here tomorrow with Karen and the Endurance episode. Thank you, Jamie.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining. Thanks for listening to my ridiculousness and spay-neuter gels. Woohoo!
All right. This is from John Katz.
This is a statement written by best-selling author John Katz. It's called Carriage Horses, My Statement, written December 7, 2014. Beyond the politics of New York City, the long assault on the carriage trade and the ban being proposed by the mayor has mesmerized and horrified much of the animal world beyond. There's a lot at stake here for animals and the people who love them, in New York City and elsewhere. Horses have lived and worked and helped people build every one of the great cities of the world, from Rome to New York. Why, after thousands of years of glorious partnership between animals and people, it is suddenly cruel and abusive for them to remain among us? We need a wiser understanding of animals than this. We need to find a better way of treating the people who own and live and work with them. The horses call to us to have a real dialogue about the future of animals in crowded cities, not this false and meaningless farce of a dialogue, the one going on in New York. There are real questions to be considered and discussed here. None of them are being considered or discussed by the mayor or his allies in the movement that claims to speak for animals, but does not really. Who speaks for animals in our world? What are their rights? Who defines their welfare? Can they be kept safely in our world, or must they be driven away to a rescue farm or a slaughterhouse where they'll never be seen again and will vanish from the earth, as so many other species have? The city that built Central Park can find a way to keep carriage horses there. That is by no means the greatest challenge New York faces. It is clear by now, many veterinarians, behaviorists, trainers, equine advocates, and rescue groups, writers, reporters, and city residents, police and health departments, inspectors, and so on, have testified to it, that the carriage horses are not being abused or mistreated. The organizations in New York seeking the ban of the carriage trade have simply reinvented the idea of abuse and what it means to suit a political, not an animal, agenda. Their shrill and dishonest campaign have failed to convince anyone in New York that the carriage trade is cruel. 66% of New Yorkers want the horses to stay, along with all three newspapers, the Working Families Party, the Chamber of Commerce. The carriage horses are not abused. To the contrary, famed horse trainer Buck Brannaman, the inspiration for the movie Horse Whisperer, have said that the carriage horses are the fortunate horses. They have work, are well supervised and cared for, are healthy and content. The worst thing for horses, says Brannaman, is to sit around with nothing to do but to drop manure. The carriage horses are lucky. Like people and border collies, they need something to do. Sadly, this is not true for many horses in America who are being abused and neglected. The carriage horses are not among them. The truth is that these horses are not the horses that need rescuing. These are not the people who abuse animals. If any New Yorker comes to my upstate country, I will show them what it means for a horse to be abused. Horses living without shelter, adequate medical care, good and fresh food. Horses with sores, cracked hooves, covered in filth out in the snow. I can show them horse rescue farms struggling to feed the sick and dying animals they have already, laboring to take on huge and healthy draft horses and feed them for years. More than 155,000 horses were sent to slaughter in Mexico and Canada in the past year. It is simply not rational and surely not humane to send horses that are safe, healthy, and well cared for out to the catastrophe that is engulfing horses and overwhelming horse rescue farms all over America and filling slaughterhouses. They could meet Simon, my donkey, who was taken by the troopers from a nearby farm. He was starved, covered in lice and sores. His hooves have grown out a foot on either side. They had not been trimmed in years. His teeth had grown into his jaw. He was hours from being dead. Perhaps some of the millions spent in New York to ban the horses and win over the mayor could have gone to Simon or the many animals in New York and elsewhere who are really suffering. No reputable equine expert believes it is cruel for working horses to pull light carriages on asphalt and flat ground through Central Park. Draft horses were bred to work, like border collies and police horses and bomb-sniffing dogs in the train stations, and therapy dogs and search and rescue dogs. Here's the thing. Horses are not dogs. They are not cats. They are not fur babies or children. All animals are not pets. The horses are real animals who come from the real world of animals. They are not depressed in the park or lonely. They do not make career choices and pine for the mythical wild where they have never lived or would not last long. They need to work. It is central to their health and well-being. How does one accept the mayor's claim that it is immoral for horses to be in the city, but moral for police horses to be stabled and housed in the same places and in the same way? Or for dogs to live in the train tracks of Amtrak sniffing for bombs that could tear them to pieces? No carriage horse in New York works as hard as my border collie Red, who does not get 5 weeks of vacation, does not have an air-conditioned bedroom, who works in the heat and cold and is regularly butted and trampled by ewes and rams. When will they come for him? Horses have always lived and worked in cities, been housed in stables, been connected to people. Draft horses have never lived in so-called freedom of the wild. They were never bred for it, would have no idea how to survive it. Carriage horses in the wild would struggle to find enough food. They eat 4 large bales of hay a day, be easy prey for predators, and suffer from exposure, cold, and heat, the absence of medical care, violent conflicts with other horses, or any kind of regulation or human attention, which they crave and have always known. That's why they have never lived in freedom. Although much has been made of the danger these horses pose in a congested city, this myth is no more real than the allegation that the horses are being cruelly treated. In the 150 years of the carriage trade, no human being has ever been killed by a carriage horse. Just this fall, 2 people walking in Central Park were killed by bicyclists. The mayor is not proposing to ban bicycles from the park. He is seeking to make the park safer for bicycles and pedestrians. Why is the same principle not applicable to the carriage horses, who have killed no one? The banning process seems to have undermined the idea of a progressive city committed to fairness and freedom. It makes no sense to animal lovers anywhere. I know of nowhere else in the world where giant electric cars are considered more eco-friendly than these gentle and biddable horses. A rational and progressive society would be working to keep their horses, not banish them. Famed biologist Jared Diamond has said that the draft horses are the most domesticatable animals for cities on Earth. They are friendly to other species, trainable, strong, calm, and adaptable. Conditions for them have only improved in New York City, not worsened. A century ago, dozens of horses died in the streets of New York from fires, disease, collision, mud rats, rat bites, and animal attacks. It is utter and ignorant of history that horses cannot safely live in the crowded streets of New York. Veterinary and health officials have found no evidence of any kind of respiratory disease caused by the city fumes and that horses are supposed to be sucking in every day. No horse in New York City died from anything but natural causes in 2014. In the past decade, there have only been a handful of accidents occurring among millions of rides. No animal or human has a better safety record in New York than the carriage horses and the carriage trade. One could easily argue that horses are better suited to cities than dogs. They do not bite hundreds of people every year and send scores of children to the hospital for treatment of bites. Dogs remind us that animals can adapt to the city fairly well, and if people will fight for their own right and keep them, as the carriage trade is doing for their horses. As animals vanish from the world, pressured by development, climate change, and human greed, the people in the carriage trade have found a way to keep animals like horses in the city and care for them well. The carriage horses are loved all over the world, the symbol of the magic of New York, the beauty of Central Park, the romance and magic that animals can bring to our lives. Central Park was created in part for carriage horses. They are as natural and organic to the park as beautiful trees and walkways. Beyond those and other issues, the campaign against them has been marked by cruelty, abuse, and harassment. It seems ironic that the mayor who wishes to ban the horses, who have harmed no one, while he sanctions the worst kind of abuse to the people in the carriage trade, mostly innocent human beings who have been committed no crimes, broken no laws, violated none of the many regulations that govern them. Online, in the streets, at demonstrations, the people in the carriage trade have been accused of abuse, torture, neglect, greed, and cruelty. Hardly any of these accusations have been proven or found to be accurate. Abuse is not an argument on Facebook. It is a crime, and no person in the carriage trade has been accused of it or has been convicted of it. People who love animals wish to keep them in our lives and in our world. The horses live in the heart of our greatest city already. The people in the carriage trade say they are open to suggestions for making the lives of the horses even better and safer. But the mayor will not speak to them, and no member of the movement that calls itself an animal rights movement has visited their stables or will speak to them. From my perspective, outside of the city, I love the most and have lived in several times happily. It seems as if the White Rabbit has taken over the band proposal. The carriage drivers have done nothing wrong. Off with the carriage drivers' heads. John Locke, the British professor who conceived the idea of liberty and moral government, said it is the purpose of government to protect the freedom and property of its citizens, not to take it away without cause. That might be the biggest issue of all in this painful and poignant struggle. The cruelty and dishonesty of the long campaign against the carriage trade suggests that the horses need to be represented by people who understand them and their real lives and needs. People who know something about animals and who will treat the horses and people who own and live with them dignity and respect. Nobody like that seems to be part of the process to banish the horses from New York. I believe, and so do many others, that there is no greater right for animals than the right to remain and survive in our world. For the love of animals and for their true rights, and for the rights of people, the ban against the carriage trade needs to fail. Written by John Katz, you can find all of his articles at bedlamfarm.com, BedlamFarm.com, written December 8, 2014.